Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. To a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the Ghostbuster.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, it is. Holidays are in full swing as we're a few days away from the United States Thanksgiving. I'm starting to feel it already. It's like we all work in the grocery industry, and it's like, man, you get to this Friday. Just not even the holiday yet. You're already just kind of like, fuck this shit, man, you know? And but we do it every year, and somehow we still get to the holiday. We find a way
to an abusive relationship.
Yes. We get to the holiday, we still find a way to enjoy it the best we can. But it is trials and tribulations getting there when you work in the business that we do. And you try to hype yourself up saying, oh, it's not going to be that bad. But then every year it's fucking bad. You're just like, God, this sucks. You're like, but Matt, you're not as bad at the end of it now. You're kind of out of the busyness of it in a way, but still.
I get lucky because, I work overnight. So I do all the prep stuff for them. I make sure that they just get out of here okay. But the real chaos is whenever you get out there and you're going through the day.
But on
the wholesale side and on the retail side. You know.
But the good news is, man, it is November 19th, and I am probably 80% done shopping. I've been on top of that shit this year. I'm just like, I don't know what hit me, man. When I was on vacation a couple weeks ago, I got a lot of it knocked out, done some stuff online, and I'm almost there, and I feel pretty good about that, you know? So,
yeah.
So that's a plus. That's a plus.
I've got one kiddo. Left. So I got the little one because I'm just like, what do I get? You know, the other ones, they tell me all the time what they want. You know, he's doesn't talk a whole lot. So it's hard. Like, I got him a couple things that I'm like, you know what? They'll pass that job on.
Right. My wife.
She's like, I know what he wants. Yeah.
Yeah. But so it's pretty good. I've got some stuff waiting to come in the mail and a few other things to get, but it's getting there. And
Born.
Well, you know, dude, you don't have to buy porn anymore, man. You just turn it on your phone now, you know?
I mean, what if it's a collectible, you know? Like special edition. Fleshlight.
No, yeah. I do not own one of those. But I'm not going to lie, if I never said I thought about it at least once. Oh,
yeah. I mean, you know.
But then I look at the prices, I'm like, nah, it's too expensive.
You're like, I'm not paying that for Riley Reed's anus, you know, how long it's been used.
I mean, don't they? I mean, I'll be honestly, I'd make a joke, but don't they run average of about $100?
Maybe.
I was trying to catch you off guard there. I think they are between like $70 and $100. They are kind of expensive.
Probably, so, you know, for what they have to go through to go through it.
But you know,
like a machine they put down there.
But you know, it's more action you probably get than if you go to the strip club and spend $80. You just get teased. That's fair. I mean. That's one way to look at it. And then they ship it in discreet packaging.
Yep.
Long's awfully quiet over there. Long's like, yeah. I have one, motherfuckers. I'm not telling you how much it was.
No comment.
No comment.
Perfect.
Yes.
But yeah, it's a. What the hell were we talking about? How do we even get on that?
I don't know. Oh, Long. Because Long said
Long brought a porn.
Yeah, he did. Nah, he tried.
I didn't change. I didn't bring us off rails. Deny.
That's okay. This movie we're doing today is a little off the rails in parts.
There's a lot
of reasons for that. We'll talk about it. I guess let's get it out. Just download this, man, where we tell me what we streamed and watched. And I actually did watch a couple of things this week. Not a lot, but a couple of things. I guess I'll start. And the first thing I watched, I sat down and watched the Netflix movie with Gal Gadot and The Rock and what's his name? Ryan Reynolds. Red Notice, where they're Ryan Reynolds, the international thief, and The Rock tries to catch him, and Gal Gadot's like another thief, and it's nothing great, but it's highly entertaining, honestly, for the most part. Ryan Reynolds is Ryan Reynolds, which I find kind of annoying at times, but he legit has some pretty funny lines in this movie. The Rock is The Rock. I mean, it's one of those movies where they play the people they are, but somehow it comes in together into a nice, entertaining little film. And if you're bored for a couple hours, it's fun to watch. There's a great scene towards the end of the film where Gal Gadot's in a bikini, so that's kind of worth it just for that. It's not a bad film. The CGI is a little rough in it, but apparently it's Netflix's most expensive movie they've made. And really? I'm watching it, and I'm like, where did they spend money on this? Because it looks kind of cheap in parts, you know. But maybe it's the salary of The Rock and Ryan Reynolds. Maybe that's what costs them a lot.
Maybe so. You got Black Adam, Deadpool, and Wonder Woman in a movie.
You know, I don't really know why I watched it. I just was like, I started watching it before, you know, I watched the whole thing. I'm like, I must have just been bored that night because I don't know. Because I like legit want to watch Jungle Cruise on Disney Plus. I kind of want to see, but somehow I ended up watching the other movie with The Rock that came out on streaming this past week. So, you know, whatever. So if you're bored for a couple hours, it's entertaining little yarn. And, of course, today I was super excited. I got home and I watched the first episode of Cowboy Bebop, and it is rad. That's all I'll say. You know what? I think general audiences, I hate to say it, but I don't think they're going to like it, because you really have to be a fan of the anime, I think, to understand what they're trying to do with this. And I can see how general audiences might find it a little weird and a little kind of like not sure what to make of it. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys.
Yeah.
Because it's very much designed. It's accessible to audiences, don't get me wrong, but the true fans of the anime are going to get the idiosyncrasies of the show, if that makes any sense. And John Chow's great in it. Actually, all the casting so far in the first episode is on point. I think it's really good. It's not like that short where it's all Scott Pilgrim-ish shit. You know, they don't do all that fancy editing like they did in that short. It's more, you know, straightforward storytelling. But it looks like a live-action anime brought to life, and I think that's what's cool about it. And definitely looking forward to watching more of it. And but I came home today and was excited to watch that first episode. And my only other thing, and I'll let you guys tell us what y'all saw, is it's more adult. Like, the original anime it's pretty PG-13, maybe even PG-16 because of some of Faye's, you know, funky outfits and the innuendos in it. But there's no mm-hmm. bad language in it, and it's not ultra-violent. The live-action show, there's a lot of F-bombs in it and a lot of blood. So they chose to make it a little bit more. But I guess those of us that grew up with it, we're all older now. So maybe that's why. You know, they made it like, let's make it for the audience that grew up with this show. Mm-hmm. So they did choose to go that route. It's definitely TVMA, so don't watch it with the kids in the room. So, but other than that, man, that's all I really watched this week. But at least I got to check out a couple of things.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Oh, I did watch the first 10 minutes of The Harder They Fall, the Netflix Western. I didn't like it at all. That's all I'm going to say. It's. I was reading all this stuff, how it's really good and really well acted. No, it's badly acted in the first 10 minutes. It's weird and over-the-top action. It's one of those where they try to redefine the Western genre, and it was just too much. I gave it 10 minutes. So I was like, I didn't like it at all. I turned it off after 10 minutes. It just did not grasp me in the first 10 minutes. Like, no. I think that's why I started watching Red Notice. I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to see what this is. I flipped over that instead. So.
Nice.
Cool. I didn't watch anything. So.
Busy week?
No, I was busy and stressful. And yeah, I just played Final Fantasy, my escape.
There we go.
I mean, you'd watch porn at least once, so don't lie.
What?
You watch porn at least once, so don't lie.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah.
There you go.
We're just being honest with ourselves. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I watched a few things. I
watched it with your mother.
With your mother.
Yeah, that's just fucking weird, man.
I did watch Jungle Cruise, and I liked it. I thought it, you know, because it didn't not do so well, you know.
Like, I mean, I think not do so well is relative in this streaming year of 2021. Yeah. You know, movies are getting simultaneously released. So, yeah, you know, it's hard to say.
Yeah, so I was like, I didn't know what to think of it, but it's fun. It kind of reminds me of like they used like a character blueprint for the Mummy. You know, I feel like, you know, The Rock is like a Brendan Fraser type. Emily Blunt's kind of like a Rachel Weisz. And then the other guy's kind of like the goofy brother, kind of dainty a little bit and don't want to get his hands dirty. But it's a cool story. I feel like, you know, I was equally surprised as whenever I watched Pirates of the Caribbean, maybe, you know, because you're like, what are they going to, you know, they're basing it off of a ride, right? You know, both movies are based off of a ride. Yeah. And I was like, it's actually pretty cool, pretty entertaining, cool story, good action. The Rock tells dad jokes throughout the entire movie. like, it's pretty funny.
I've been on the actual ride.
You have?
Disney World. Yeah.
That's cool, man. Is it fun?
It's just a slow, you know, boat ride on rails, mm-hmm. and you just see animatronic safari animals. But that was like back in the early 90s, so they probably changed it since then.
Oh, yeah. Probably gotten some upgrades.
Yeah.
But enjoyed the movie. I think I watched it twice because Jackie didn't see it, so I watched it with her again. And I watched, you know, I just went ahead and rewatched the first Ghostbusters because, you know, why not? Why not just watch both, you know? And, of course, I was going to go Sunday, but I ended up going to see Ghostbusters Afterlife today. It is nostalgic goodness. Made me remember whenever I was a kid and watched it. I felt like brought both my oldest kids and they enjoyed it. It's worth seeing. I mean, there was a lot of clapping a couple times.
Nice. I don't want to hear too much. I've seen it Sunday, so I don't want to hear too much.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm just going to, you know, I'm not going to give you any plot or anything. Because I think the trailer tells you just enough, you know, and good send off, you know, of course, for, you know, because, well, he's already been, you know, gone for a while, you know, Harold, but I felt like they handled, you know, him not being able to be in the movie very well. And there's two post-credit scenes, so make sure you stick around. There's a lot of people that just bolted off, but there's two post-credit scenes, and, you know, just stick around for those. Yeah, go see it.
Because Michael, remember, he didn't go with us, so we did watch Shang-Chi the other night because Michael hadn't seen it. And it held up well even the second time. I still enjoyed it a lot. I was just thinking about it. I also watched that little documentary they put on Disney Plus about Boba Fett. Which was cool because even me, the hardcore diehard Star Wars fan, I had never seen the footage before of the Boba Fett prototype costume where they're like kind of showing it off to sell it to like retailers or whatever it is. And it's all white. And he's like, this is the Boba Fett. So there was some cool stuff in there. Even I, as a Star Wars fan, had not seen before. So it's only like 30 minutes. So it's pretty cool to watch. And talks about the legacy of Boba Fett and why he's so popular. So and that's on Disney Plus right now. So I watched that too. But yeah, so cool. Good stuff.
Cool, man.
I will have my Ghostbusters report next week.
There we go.
After I see the movie. So, and you know, you can see, you know, Bond, No Time to Die is on Vudu already. It's a $20 rental, but I mean, heck, if you go to the movies, you're going to spend that. You know.
We saw it.
Yeah.
Well, Jackie wanted to see it. I kind of told, you know, she doesn't mind spoilers too much. At least not for Bond. You know, I kind of told her the ending and I was like, I felt like, you know, it was just a whole different concept to Bond, you know, towards the end, a little bit more development in him, you know, as a character.
I was just shocked. I was on Vudu the other day. I'm like, wait, this is available for rent already? I was like, that's kind of strange. But again, as we just mentioned earlier, that's just kind of the year we live in, you know, it's just, I think the box office is coming back. I think next year, you know, we'll start to see kind of a return I think a certain movie we're going to talk about a trailer here in a little bit, I think it's going to really start to help bring things back around, and I think we'll get there eventually where we won't have these simultaneous releases. I think the next big one is what, the Matrix, which at the end of the month will be the next big simultaneous release. So we'll see. But let's get today's featured film then, which is, of course, because of Ghostbusters Afterlife being in theaters this weekend, we were like, let's talk some Ghostbusters nostalgia ourselves. And we did the first film a couple years ago. And so we're like, let's talk the sequel that was not as well received by people, but not necessarily a failure either. As Ghostbusters 2 came out in 1989, 5 years after the original. Matt, you want to give a summary of this one? Or Loggy, or what do you got?
Yeah, sure. So this follows the events of the battle atop building Gozer. And
well, Ghostbusters 3 years later. Are
3 years later. And the Ghostbusters are not, able to practice paranormal stuff anymore because they got stiffed by the mayor. So they're doing birthday parties. Ray has a bookstore. Venkman has a talk show. So they're kind of spread out. And they get brought back together because of the slime that they find underneath the city that is feeding negative energy from New Yorkers. Go figure. There's a lot of that. And it's accumulating, powering this, powering this, Vigo, who is trapped in this painting and needs to be reborn. And he chooses Dana's son, Oscar. And it's up to the Ghostbusters to come back. There's a cool comeback moment mid film in the courtroom. Great stuff. And then boom, they're back. They're giving out tumblers and balloons for the kids. And we get some Run DMX Ghostbusters theme and Bobby Brown On Our Own, some cool new tunes. And man, they bring the Statue of fucking Liberty to break open the museum and try to take down Vigo. And, it's an interesting, villain. I feel like it's kind of like if Stephen King ran out of spooky things to come up with, and he's like, it's a painting, it's an evil painting. It's, instead of like a werewolf or a dog, or the Langoliers, it's like, that's the painting. It's alive.
Vigo.
Yeah. Vigo. He's going to steal your pizza. I know, but, I thought parts of this movie were fun, and there's definitely some fun parts. There's some opportunities. It was obviously successful, but not with a few bumps in the road.
It made $137 million domestically, so it was a success. But why did it take 5 years to come to the screen? That's the part that's an interesting story about this is and don't let these stars, Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray, these guys fool you. Those guys tend to be a bit egotistical. And a lot of the reason this movie kept getting delayed is because of them. Studio wanted a sequel.
Money, right?
But money was part of it. But Aykroyd wanted to go bigger, obviously, and they wanted a bigger sequel. But the studio didn't want to spend that much money. I think this movie ended up costing $37 million to make or something. The studio also wanted more special effects, so they wanted the actors to have a little less screen time and take a pay cut. So there was a lot of fighting back and forth between Aykroyd and Bill Murray and them getting this made. The script was on the table within a year after Ghostbusters being made, but they had to tone down the script, make it a little bit cheaper, a little more affordable. But that being said, for a $37 million movie, the movie actually looks pretty good, special effects-wise. But I also think, though, that watching this, doesn't this feel like kind of an end of an era type movie? Like you can tell, like it's 1989, right? And this movie looks pretty good, but also looks kind of rough. Then all of a sudden you jump to 1990 and 91, and you have Terminator 2 and Jurassic Park and all these massive special effects movies. But here's Ghostbusters 2 that's just a couple years behind it. And so when you put it in that perspective, you're like, wow, this looks kind of rough considering you have movies that look way better just a couple years later. So
that's true,
that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
But this movie also suffered from the popularity of the Ghostbusters cartoon. The cartoon was so popular, the toys were selling like crazy, that the studio was like, we need more of that. That's why what's-her-name's hair looks like she does in the cartoon. That's why the ghosts are more cartoony. They needed stuff to sell more toys. That's why they made the slime and all this other stuff. They wanted to be a more of a silly plot like the cartoon was. And that's why you have this slime where he like long made fun of them going, yo, and the anger of that. So they scaled this down to make it more family friendly. There's a lot less adult jokes in this than the first one. There's still a few, but a lot less. And a lot of that was because of the cartoon.
Yeah, man.
The cartoon was great, man.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, like Slimer living with them
Amazon
is because of the cartoon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was.
J. Michael Straczynski wrote a lot of the episodes.
Yeah.
From Babylon 5. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He cut his writing chops on there in that show. So. Very well animated, too. For me personally, man, this was one of my most anticipated sequels when I was a kid growing up. And yeah, I was disappointed that they didn't show enough proton pack action and more of the slime stuff. Like, oh man, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of the slime projectile stuff.
Right. And the friggin', the proton streams just kind of sloshing around in the. And the slime, you know, and you're like, oh, you know, I liked it better when there was like four streams, you know, and they had to cross the streams. Why not bring that back again? You know, that was cool. They're die, but let's do it.
I think we can all agree that the best scene in the entire movie is the courtroom scene.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. That's the best scene in the whole movie. Everything else is okay.
And the comedy is pretty funny in that movie. You know,
The comedy in that scene is good. And that is one thing about Ghostbusters 2, though, overall, is the comedy doesn't miss. You know, Aykroyd, Murray, all those guys together are still great, you know, when they're on screen. But that's my biggest thing with this. Movie's an hour and 45 minutes, and I feel like there's only 20 minutes of the Ghostbusters in this movie. It feels like there's a lot of stuff with Dana and Lewis and the bad guy. It feels like, where are the Ghostbusters in this movie? You know?
Yeah, man, just watching it again, you know, I watched it whenever I was younger, so I didn't maybe grasp some of these jokes.
Right.
And then you watch it again and you're like, I got a judicial restrangement order, that blue thing from her. You know, my clients could be exposing themselves and you don't want us exposing ourselves. And I'm just like, I don't think I caught that when I was a kid. I was just like, okay, you know, they're just talking. You know, right. Shoot your proton packs. The road scene, you know, just, you know, the pothole jokes from that, you know, and they're like, oh, we're from the telephone company. Oh, you see, I'm digging this hole, you know, like acting like construction workers and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill Murray, I think, hams it up pretty good in his performance. And then, you know, they're like, hey, you know, we already checked. You're not from the power company. You're not from the phone company. Where are you from? He's like, oh, I got a gas leak here.
Well, and then the other part of that, though, is these guys are supposedly famous after saving the city, but then yet they still, like, people are just like, wait, what are you doing here? You know, they don't know him?
Who it's are like, you?
Yeah.
Yo.
The movie also suffers from a couple of cuts. Like, there's a scene where I think – is it Peter? Peter gets possessed by the painting, and he takes he takes the Ecto-1 on a joyride through the city, and they end up cutting all that. But there's parts of it that were added to the montage, so it explains why Ray at the end gets possessed by the painting again. So it just sort of happens at the end really quickly. You're like, wait, what just happened? But because of the scene that was cut earlier in the film, that would have explained what was going on at the end of the movie. Well, as a kid, I didn't notice that. But as an adult now, I'm like, that's really weird at the end of the movie. Like, why did that happen? You know, it's like, but it would have made sense that they had left that scene in the film.
You only get the subtle nod whenever he sees the eyes flash. And you feel like there's some kind of connection there. But obviously, you don't know where that connection, you know, was going to go because the scene was cut.
And it's so weird because, like, I was researching the movie. There's really no explanation as to why the scene was cut. It was only 2 or 3 minutes. It would have made sense in the movie. It was already shot, special effects, everything were done. Yeah. So they chose to cut this and put it in the montage instead, which isn't really, but you don't know it's part of the montage. Just an odd choice, I guess, in the cutting room. It almost feels like something that the studio did that not Ivan Reitman did, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Studio getting in the way. Yeah. Columbia, you know, didn't they get ticked at Columbia for kind of screwing around with the movie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's why number three never got made. A lot of it was they were pissed off with Columbia Pictures. Dan Aykroyd saw the finished film, and he said what I just said. He goes, where are we in the film? You know, they were cut so much of the film. It's called Ghostbusters, but they're in the movie for maybe 25, 30 minutes of the film of screen time, it seems. So Aykroyd was pissed. Bill Murray was like, I'm done. You know, so that's a lot of that was Columbia is a lot of the reason number three never got made, despite this being a success, you know?
Yeah. Columbia, which turned into Sony, and you know, the Sony's history of making movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've not made a secret about it. You know, this, they just don't know how to let, you know, let things breathe.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Then there was the popularity of the video game in the 2000s. You know, Ghostbusters started making a comeback, the home video release of the real Ghostbusters. And there was talks of a part three being made. And that never happened either, though. You know, obviously, then we lost Harold Ramis. So the studio chose to go the route of that female reboot, which was not well received. And, you know, it has nothing to do with being females. You know, it's just not a very good movie. You know, my six-year-old son is smart enough to go, Dad, this isn't very good. You know, and now luckily we had Ivan's son, Jason, come up with the idea to reboot the franchise with the film that hits theaters this weekend. But Ghostbusters is, it's a really cool idea for a franchise. And it sometimes this is one of those franchises you look back on and think, man, it could have been so much more. You know, you could have had a saga of 4 or 5 films telling a really cool story if Columbia had not screwed it up with them getting involved with part two, you know. And now maybe a new generation will get that. Maybe we'll get a couple of films if this new one is successful, because Jason Reitman says he's got ideas for another one. So we'll see.
I say, you know, it's got to happen. I mean, it's like you said, it's a franchise where the limits, you know, the possibilities are endless. Yeah.
And, you know, yeah,
I mean, the cartoon itself showed the potential.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, a couple of years ago we did part one. You know, I've always liked the film, but I wasn't really like a huge fan. But I think since we've done part one and I've watched more of the real Ghostbusters with the kids and now watching part two, I think I'm a bigger fan now than I was even a couple of years ago. You know, it's grown on me more. And I'm looking forward to seeing the new one, and I hope that this franchise can continue with more films and stuff. Because it is a cool concept, and you know, Dan Aykroyd was right to bring this to the big screen and really push for it, because he had to really fight to get the first one made. You know, as popular as he was for Saturday Night Live, you know, the studios were like, "What? Ghost? Ah, this seems stupid." You know, but he finally convinced the studio to get it made. You know, and the studio was very glad that he did, since it was a huge success for him.
Yeah.
Call it fate. Call it karma. I believe everything happens for a reason. And it did. Because Ghostbusters rules. Mic drop. Boom.
Hey, you know, this franchise might only have, well, three films now, because I'm not going to count the female film. But I enjoy Ghostbusters. This might hurt some 80s fans' feelings, but I enjoy Ghostbusters more than I do Back to the Future. That's just me.
And this film had to go up against Back to the Future too.
Yeah. Part two.
Ooh la la.
Well, yeah, but
ooh,
more
la la.
More Batman. Batman came out the week after this.
Yeah, and it was obviously stagnating.
Yeah. And Batman was obviously a huge success. So
they had to move their release date back because they didn't want no part of Batman.
Yeah. Yeah, because then Back to the Future, I think, came out 2 or 3 weeks later. It came out after Batman, if I remember right. Or was Back to the Future before it? Back to the Future, I think, might have already came out. I think it might have been Memorial Day weekend that year. Yeah,
they were all summer movies. Yeah. This movie was early June or mid June, right?
And then, because Batman was in late June. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but overall, though, man, I think Ghostbusters 2, rewatching it this week, it's not great, but it's not as bad as people sometimes may think it is.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's entertaining. Decent special. I really like the special effects for the. I think where the Titanic is there and all the ghosts are coming out, I think that's kind of cool.
And it actually came back to its original destination, Pier 34.
Yeah, they use the same pier number. Mm-hmm. But I still can't give this higher than maybe a B-. I don't think it's a great, great movie, but I think it's a fun movie. It's an okay follow-up. But I think it's also a product of its time. Now, when we get a sequel, it's bigger, it's better. We all know this. But back then in 1989, other than the Empire Strikes Back and the Indiana Jones films and Aliens, most sequels were still subpar to their originals. And this is one of those. Yeah. It just suffered that fate.
Yeah.
I'd give it a B. Yeah.
I'd probably give it a B-. as a kid, I gave it an A.
All right.
Over and hell over. Yeah, man. As a kid, definitely, man.
But there's a... I want to make another comment about the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
Yeah.
They had a really cool villain, Sam Hain, the pumpkin head.
Oh, yeah.
The spirit of Halloween. Mm-hmm. And that would have been a really cool villain to translate to movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Yeah, they could have done some cool
stuff. Pulled a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd give it a B-.
Yeah, they definitely could have gone further with the franchise back then, but... We got the two films, and now we're getting the legacy sequel. So, you know, it's all good. So it got us. It got me thinking this week with the top five, and I know I kind of threw that at y'all without asking y'all, but I figured y'all would go with it. I thought it was a good idea. We've done this before with our top fives. Instead of doing a top five, we kind of do a recast. But this one we're doing a little bit different. This isn't a fantasy recast where you can cast any actor from any time. I thought we would. If they were to completely remake Ghostbusters today, who would they pick for the four Ghostbusters and for Dana? And we chose 2000 and up. So yeah, it still leaves a lot of actors that you can choose from. And I guess I'll start. I have one honorable mention. If I was to cast Lewis Tully in this movie, I would cast Russell Brand. I don't know why. I think he would be in that goofy fifth Ghostbuster. That's just my honorable mention, but I'm going to start with Dana, and you need a female actress that's like Sigourney Weaver, pretty but kind of strong to go up against Peter's constant coming on to her, and I thought Emily Blunt would be really good in that role. I think that she would be a really good Dana in modern times because she showed obviously in The Quiet Place and Edge of Tomorrow that she can be tough, but she can also be really beautiful and pretty in movies she's done too.
Yeah, she's like that in Jungle Cruise too.
Number five, I would probably go with Ray as played by Steve Carell from The Office.
Oh, nice. I think
he brings that same enthusiastic energy to that character like Dan Aykroyd did. So, Steve Carell for Ray.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
I also started off with Dana, and I've got Aubrey Plaza. I feel like she could still joust with the guys. She's still pretty, but in an awkward, you know, funny way. You know,
she's more than pretty though. She's smoking hot.
Yeah, she is, and she's like that awkward kind of funny, which I like. You know, hard to find. So, Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, I have Winston next, and this might seem like such an easy pick, but man, Dave Chappelle.
I
think he'd make a great Winston, and give him more lines. Unfortunately, you know, Ernie Hudson does. I love Ernie Hudson, you know, and I got to meet him. He's such a nice guy, but he's kind of thrown in there for part one because Eddie Murphy turned it down, and he's not given a lot to do, and he's still not given a lot to do in part two. He's given a little bit more to do. Mm-hmm. But if you were to make this today, you were to cast him with like Dave Chappelle, you know you would give him some funny lines, and you would probably give him more to do.
Oh, definitely.
Number four, I think I would go for Egon, Bill Hader. He can pull off almost any kind of a role, but I can kind of see Bill Hader as taking over as Egon.
I like that pick. I think Bill Hader could do that.
Yeah.
I also went with Winston as number four. But I went like a different route. I wanted, you know, cause Winston feels like such, you know, so one of the norm, like most normal of them all. And, so I went with, Michael J. White, you know, like a badass Winston, you know,
yeah.
I want my Winston to, you know, be able to.
That's my thing though, man. I like, that's my thing. I like Michael J. White. Don't get me wrong, but I just feel like, I almost feel like he's too strong of a presence. Like he would kick everyone's ass. You know?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe so. I mean, he'd F this proton pack and just start.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe beat the shit out of people. But not a terrible pick, but it would be like, he'd have to be a reserved Michael J. White. He'd have to back it up a little bit.
Yeah.
number three for Peter, man. This might be a weird pick because, like, this is what I found the most difficult because it's hard to replace Bill Murray because he's so fucking good. But I went with Will Ferrell, man. I think if you take Will Ferrell like in his prime, he could be kind of like male chauvinistic like Peter, but he also could take care of his business if he needs to.
Like whenever he was in The Other Guys.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. It's Other Guys' character. That is kind of a version of Peter. And I'm not talking like goofy old school Will Ferrell. I'm talking that Will Ferrell that like in the Other Guys where he can kind of play both parts. So yeah, so I think Will Ferrell, man, I don't know why. I think he'd be good as Peter.
Yeah. I've also got Will Ferrell as well. But I have him as Ray Stantz. I think Long's pick is better, but I think Will Ferrell could do it, but man, you know, I think, man, now that I would want our do-over and just do Steve Carell as Ray. That's such a good pick, but Will Ferrell could do it. But yeah, Will Ferrell as Ray Stantz.
What number are we at now?
Two.
I kind of went a different route. I kind of gender bend.
Well, no, logged into his number three.
Number three is Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Two.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Yeah, same. Because I started it so long I had no number three yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my number three.
Yeah.
So, number two, Mark.
This is kind of my weird pick for Egon. I didn't – man, this was a hard one too because Harold Ramis is so good. And I went – I don't know why. I picked Joseph Gordon-Levitt because he feels like he can play like that straight guy that makes jokes that are kind of nerdy like Egon does.
Yeah.
But yet he can kick a little ass too. Cause I was Googling like nerdy comedians and things like that. And I just couldn't find anybody that I really liked. And then I started thinking, man, I don't know. Levitt could play this role. You know, I was thinking of him with glasses on and I don't know. I think he could do it. Maybe it's an odd pick, but it could work.
Yeah, no, that's a good pick. I've got Peter as, you know, played by Ryan Reynolds. I know that, you know, maybe it's not seems like a good fit, but I feel like he can talk so much crap though. He's a good crap talker.
He's the same person in every fucking movie.
I don't know, but he's kind of like toned down a little bit. And I kind of like this toned down, Ryan Reynolds little bit more.
When is he ever toned down?
Yes, a little bit. I feel like there's the edge is off from like Waiting, you know, if you watch Waiting or Van Wilder, he's definitely not that, you know. He's not that Ryan Reynolds anymore. He's this, you know, older, you know.
He's the same.
Ryan Reynolds. He's the same?
Yeah.
Definitely looks always, the same.
He's always been the same.
Well, I'm going to – my number two, I kind of went a non-traditional route, and I picked – if I were to do Ray as a female, cast by a female star, I would put Sandra Bullock. As a Ray, she could bring that enthusiastic energy. Oh wow, you know that childlike charm, you know, because I've seen her in that kind of role before when she does a sitcoms for.
I thought your Ray was Steve Carell.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I didn't think we had any rule about repeating casts.
Oh, so. Well,
That's okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess.
I can't think of a Bill Murray. I mean.
That's fair. I mean, it's hard. It's hard. You know, you just kind of.
Robert De Niro. How's that?
De Niro.
Well, my.
Not even.
What the hell? Well, my number one is Ray, and it is Steve Carroll. That's who also I picked, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So, nice. So I was trying not to say anything when you said it long. I was like, God dang it, long steal of my thunder. Because I felt like that's a good fucking pick. <You know? laughs> But I definitely can see Steve Carell as a Ray for sure. Being the guy that's trying to convince people about the paranormal being real and being kind of the straight man of the group, but also kind of goofy, too.
Good one. I've got Robert Downey Jr. as Egon. I think he could play the nerdy type. You know, the obviously he played a scientist, you know, in Marvel.
I don't know. I see him more as
maybe a Peter.
Yeah, yeah, I see him more like Peter. I think he'd be a Peter.
Yeah. I almost picked the Quitman, you know, the guy who played Spock and In the Darkness. He kind of looked like Egon to me.
Is that right? Quinto?
Quinto, not Quitman. Yeah, Quinto. Almost. But I don't know. I felt like RDJ. Yeah. You know.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, my number one pick, it's going to be Paul Walker as Slimer.
Boom.
What perfect person to play a ghost than Paul Walker?
Damn.
He's from the 2000s, so there you go.
Damn.
Okay, let's move to some news. All right, then.
Nice.
Good top five, guys. So this came out right before when I was doing news earlier. They, I didn't write the actress's name down, but they cast Sabine in the live action Ahsoka series, which there have been rumors a while back that there was going to be a live action Sabine coming, and the actress's name is Natasha Liu Bardizio. So the rumors are true. We're gonna, you know, Labiel said that Ahsoka might be a pseudo sequel to Star Wars Rebels. And it looks like they might be headed that direction in some ways. So we're going to get a live-action Sabine. That's pretty cool, I think, because Sabine was always a cool character in Rebels.
Oh, yeah.
So, if it's any indication what Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau have done so far with the live-action shows, I have all the faith in the world in them that they're going to do this just as well. Sylvester Stallone, it's confirmed he's coming back for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And I guess since he's filming, he must have a little bit bigger role this time. Because weren't their characters supposed to be like the original Guardians of the Galaxies?
Yep.
Yeah. So.
And then Miley Cyrus was a part of them. I wonder if she's going to be.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen. Well, I know Ming-Na Wen says she's not in it. Okay. You know, because she's busy doing Boba Fett, Mandalorian, all that stuff anyway. So maybe they're not bringing back all of them. So we'll see how that turns out. And a quick side note. Did y'all see? Man, I completely forgot about that Rocky IV director's cut.
Oh, yeah.
I started to rent it on Vudu, but then I started reading reviews of it and saying that it's kind of a letdown because he was promising like 40 minutes of new footage. Apparently, there's like 3 minutes, and it's a lot of just re-edits and scenes. They said a lot of the heart of the film was taken away, like the way he edited stuff. So now I'm kind of like, I may just wait till it hits the streaming. You know, eventually, it's going to be on HBO Max because they own all those Rocky movies. So I think I'm just going to wait for an HBO Max and watch it then, because I bet it'll hit that eventually, because I don't want to pay for it if it sucks.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
Because, I was really hoping – Stallone was really hyping that up, and I was thinking, man, this could be cool. And then I was reading some reviews, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of disappointing. So, oh, well, I guess it happens. This long in production series based on the Halo video games finally got a teaser trailer this week. And where it just shows, you know, Master Chief putting on his helmet and saying a few words. And I guess it's going to be on Paramount Plus. I mean, this thing seems like it's jumped around. Peter Jackson was going to produce it at one point. It was going to be on Showtime. Then it was going to be on FX. And then it was going to be a movie. And then it was going back to a TV series. And now some, it's on Paramount Plus. So, I mean, doesn't it feel like we've been talking about Halo TV series or movie for about 10 years now? So it has its fans though. So I'm sure it'll find an audience when it hits. So we'll see. But the big, more important trailer that came out Tuesday night this week, as people were waiting for, was the new trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home. And this hit. And, man, you know, it's a good trailer. It really is a really good trailer that shows you just enough but doesn't really spoil anything. I mean, it doesn't spoil anything we didn't already know, you know. I'm actually pretty fucking excited for this movie.
Yeah. I'm certainly more looking forward to it than I did from Far From Home. To me, out of the Tom Holland movies, I'd still like Homecoming the most. And Far From Home was just, it just didn't gel with me. You know, I just didn't like it as much as Homecoming.
I can't wait to see what they're packing in here. I shared y'all a trailer that supposedly came out of Alberta, but I don't, you know, you never know what's fake and what's real. And, we'll see, man. See what happens. Definitely can't wait to find out.
I mean, everyone knows the rumors that Garfield and Maguire might be in it and all that. And, you know, it's possible. You know, and if they aren't it, you know, the audience is going to go wild. It would be a big surprise. I know I always joked about, like, oh, we don't need them in there. But as a fanboy, obviously, it'd be cool to see him in there. I just hope they CGI the heck out of Tobey Maguire so he doesn't look so rough.
He does look rough, man.
Andrew Garfield looks about the same. You know, he's a little bit older, but mostly the same. But Maguire looks kind of rough. My other thought was, what if they threw us a complete left field ball and it's Venom and another Marvel character helping at the end of the movie? You know? It's like, what if that was to happen? Like, Venom shows up in the multiverse and decides to help Spider-Man. You know? I mean, just crazy thoughts. We all see in the trailer the throwback to when Mary Jane was falling and Gwen falling in the Amazing Spider-Man 2. And we see MJ falling in this one. So, you know, we see that. But you know what's coolest of all for me is, I've always been a fan of Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin as Norman Osborn. So I think that's pretty cool to see him coming back.
Oh, his voice, man. It sets the tone for creepiness, you know?
Alfred Molina's great. But, man, I've always liked Dafoe's Green Goblin. So I think that's kind of cool they brought him back. So it should be fun, man. December 17th, it hits theaters. So definitely going to see that one, man. The boys are excited for it too. So it's going to be cool, man. I hope it turns out as good as we're hoping it to be. So
have y'all two watched the Eternals yet?
Not yet.
No, I was supposed to go see it and then I just never did.
I was reading something that based on current projections of Disney, how fast their movies are hitting Disney Plus, it's going to be on Disney Plus like between January 10th and 20th. I'm like, I'll just fucking wait, you know, because it's been about 45 to 60 days they're hitting Disney Plus. So I'm like, yeah, I'll just wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like 2.5 hours too. That's a long sit in the theaters if I was to take the boys. Plus I've heard this one's not as kid friendly as some of the other ones. Like, kids might be bored with it. So it's more of a talking Marvel movie. So it's like, I'll just wait. Spider-Man, I'm going to see in the fucking theater for sure.
Absolutely.
I might even try to go see them. Even though I have HBO Max, I'm kind of tempted to see Matrix in theaters just because I think it'd be cool in theaters.
Yeah.
And that brings us to next week's movie. We are going to get you ready for the Matrix Resurrections. By the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk the sequels. We already did the original Matrix a couple of years ago. So we're going to kick things off next week with a two episode run of to finish off the original trilogy. We're going to start it with The Matrix Reloaded.
Go. tell you, fellas.
It's him.
Do we proceed?
Yes.
He is still
only human.
All of our lives, we have fought this war. Tonight, I believe we can end it.
That's a nice trick.
Huh, upgrades.
Mr. Anderson.
Surprised to see me?
So now he's found a way to copy himself.
Now there's more than one of them.
A lot more.
The machines are digging. They're boring from the surface straight down to Zion.
There is only one way to save our city. Neo.
What happens if I fail?
Then Zion will fall.
They need you.
I need you.
If the prophecy is true, what if tomorrow the war could be over? Isn't that worth fighting for? Isn't that worth dying for?
This is a heavy sequel, you know. It came out. It's got some great sequences in it. There's also some really deep exposition in this movie that takes a bit to pick up on everything that's going on. But I haven't watched this one in a while, like a long while. I've seen the original several times, but it's been a while since I've seen The Matrix Reloaded. I remember the really great rooftop scene in it and some other things. So, I'm kind of looking forward to it. Kind of looking forward to revisiting The Matrix Reloaded. And obviously, we're going to cover The Matrix Revolutions the week after that to finish off the trilogy to get you guys ready for The Matrix Resurrections. So that's a lot of R's. Reloaded, Revolutions, or Resurrections.
Yes.
So it should be fun, man, to revisit those films and go back. We did a lot of Keanu Reeves, man. We did John Wick. We did Dracula. We did Speed. Now we're doing the two Matrix films. Keanu getting some love on the Rebel Radio podcast. Yep. So
maybe we should have done Knock Knock for Halloween.
Maybe we should have, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's a horrible movie.
But so that'll be next week's show, man. But until then, if you celebrate Thanksgiving in America, have a great holiday and continue to stay safe. And we are thankful for all of you guys who listen to the show and support us. We do appreciate it because if we didn't have any listeners, then we would not just talk to each other for an hour every week because that would be weird. or not. I don't know. But therebelradiopodcast.com is where you can find everything you need. And this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the Ghostbuster.
Until next week, remember, as always, just go there and do it.